people healed of cancer. We've seen people raised from the dead in those meetings, and God just did some wonderful things, and He's the same God, and He can do it all again. So we encourage you to be along on Thursdays, the first Thursday. That's not this week, but the first Thursday of February, first Thursday of March, right through the year. It'll be great. We're expecting miracles. Hallelujah. Now, over the past few years, since we've been here, at least in this building, much of what I've been teaching has been about walking by faith. It's about a life of living this faith walk. And in the next couple of 3 weeks, I want to touch, if I can, some of the what I've called the high points of these teachings. And I know that the messages will bless you because they've blessed me as I've prepared them. And they'll help you in this faith walk that we're trying to encourage you into. See, faith is not really believing that God will do what you want. Faith is believing that God will do what is right, what is moral, and what is just. I just believe God is God, and He's going to do what He's going to do. And I know He's not some sort of message boy that I can say, oh God, I need a new car, I need a new house, or whatever. That's not what it's about. But when you do what God tells you, He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, the new house, the new car, the new bicycle, whatever it is, all these things will be added. You don't have to struggle for them. You don't have to be concerned about them. But we've got to learn this faith walk, because it's important for you and for me that we continue to grow in this, not just come to a, you know, like we're treading water, we've reached a level where we're just going to stay there. No, we've got to keep going, keep growing, and keep going on with the things that God has for us. And you have opportunity every day to make your faith work. Some of you may know that from time to time I get attacked by gout. You know, they say that's because of the food that people eat. In my case, if I eat raw tomatoes, my toe starts jumping up and down. Sometimes it's happens in my elbow. So I've learned that there's some foods that I just don't eat. And it's not that, you know, I could pray and say, oh God, I want to eat anything. Everything's good. But there are just sometimes you need to realize that's not something that you should have. And on Thursday, we went out to Elizabeth's brother. He invited us out to lunch at his house, and he lost his wife just a couple of months ago. And he had this wonderful salad. And I really, really, really enjoyed the meal. It was great. And he had bought most of the product, you know, from Woolworths or Coles or wherever. But one of the things he bought was a coleslaw, and I happened to like coleslaw, so I had a couple of spoonfuls of coleslaw with the salad. But then on Thursday night and all day Friday, this elbow was twice normal size, and so I was learning to walk by faith again. I had to pray, and I'd make a statement, and Elizabeth would say, shh, don't say that. That's not what you're supposed to say. And she kept correcting me and making me do what I'm trying to tell you to do. So we have to learn this, and even though we've been at it for a long time, it still takes time to, you know, to learn these things and may put them in practice. Because just because you decide you're going to walk by faith, it doesn't automatically mean that you don't have any problems. It doesn't automatically mean that you just overcome everything just in a flash. No, you've got to walk this thing out day by day by day. And let me just make a couple of statements to you by way of an opener. First of all, we have to walk by faith because it's impossible to please God any other way. Hebrews 11:6 is the verse. In the Amplified Bible, this is what it says. The Amplified Bible, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of and diligently seek Him out. Now, I'm sure, like me, you want to please God. All of us, we want to please God. We don't want to do anything or get involved in anything that would not please him. It's interesting, you know, I've got a lot of experiences that I can call on and share with you, and I try to be careful what I say, because sometimes people say, oh, well, I know who he's talking about, and probably most times you don't, because most of the stories I tell are from other places that most of you wouldn't have been to. But we had a man come from Canada one time. A minister came from Canada, and he ministered for us for a couple of Sundays. I'm going back now to, 1970-something or other. Perhaps 1980 and around there. I can't remember exactly the date. But he stayed with us in the home, and he was an interesting character, and he had a wife in Canada, and he had a daughter in one of the islands. He stayed for a couple of weeks, and then 3 weeks, then 4 weeks, then 5 weeks, then 6 weeks. And we thought, he's never going to go home. And, you know, when you have a guest, you got to try and look after them. And I prayed, I said, Lord, you know, he's got to go somewhere. He can't live with us forever. And, you know, the Lord spoke in my heart and told me what the problem was. His wife and him are getting divorced. And he didn't want to go home. He was enjoying Elizabeth's cooking and washing his clothes and looking after him and doing all of those things. And eventually I had to just say to him, listen, my friend, God has told me you need to go. And he was wise enough to take the advice, and eventually he went, and he went to be with his daughter. And, you know, the marriage didn't work out. Now, I'm telling that for a reason, because sometimes there are things that happen in churches that ought not to happen. As the minister, I become aware of things. The Holy Spirit gives me words of knowledge very often. And sometimes I hesitate to say these things because I know it could hurt someone or offend someone. But I'm just going to say this morning, that if you're here today, and this is as far as I'll go with this, if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing that you know is wrong, don't do it. God knows about it. Is it enough said? Don't need to say any more about that? Party concerned knows who God's talking to. So the first thing is, we've got to please God. And if we're going to please God, then we're going to walk by faith. The second thing is this, that in the Word of God, if God says something twice in the Word, he's saying, listen to what I'm saying. But if he says something four times in the Word, he's saying, I want you to listen and I want you to do it. And in the Word of God, it says four places. Let me read them to you. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 is the first one. It says this, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews 10:38 also says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. So if God puts something in the Word four times, don't you think he's trying to say something to us that we need to learn to live and walk by this faith? Now, we need to learn to obey the Word. We need to learn to live by this Word, do what God tells us. And as I said before, just because you start to walk by faith, it doesn't automatically mean that there's never going to be a problem again. The opportunity for difficulties is always there. The Lord is very gracious and good to us, but the devil is out to kill us and destroy and do what he can anytime to keep us out of what God is trying to get us into. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, thank you, girls, says this, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're walking by faith, we're pleasing God. We're not people who are walking in the things of the enemy. We're walking in the things of God. And when the scriptures say that Jesus pleased the Father, and Jesus' testimony was that He perfectly pleased his Father. So that tells me, because he perfectly pleased his Father, he walked by faith. He must have walked by faith. Now, I don't know if you fully understand some of these things or not, because I listen to things that I hear people say, and I think, you didn't get it, you missed it altogether. You do realize that when Jesus came on the earth, he came as a man. We got that? Okay. The only time he was the Son of God on the earth was when he went to Calvary. He died as the Son of God. He was a man, but everything that he did on the earth, he did as a man in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just same as you and me. No different to, you know, he said there's nothing in him that we would want to even desire. He just looked like everybody else. He didn't have a halo spinning around above his head. None of that. See, all the pictures that people draw all show him as the Son of God, but he was just an ordinary man. His adopted father was a carpenter. His mother was a carpenter's wife. He lived in a carpenter's shop and he learned a carpenter's trade. He was just a normal, everyday man. But he had to learn to walk by faith continually in order to please God, in order to be all that his Father wanted him to be. Now, there's no other way that he could have walked if he was going to please God, if he's going to please his Father. He had to be one who walked. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 gives us an interesting verse. It says, be followers of God as dear children. The word followers in the Greek translation is a word called mimetes, and it means imitate. We have to imitate God. It says, be an imitator of God or an imitator of Jesus as dear children. Just like when children are small, and I don't know about you and your family, but I can remember when our son Ian was small, and I was recovering from the operations I'd had after the accident. My leg was in plaster cast and all of that. Ian would occasionally get my walking stick and, you know, pretend to be Dad walking with the walking stick. Sometimes you get kids, they put on Dad's hat and pretend to be like Dad or whatever it is. See, we've got to be imitators of God. So if Jesus walked by faith and pleased his Father, then we can do that too. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So if the Spirit of the Son is in me, then I can walk like the Son. I can be the person that God wants me to be. And Jesus walked by faith. He pleased his Father perfectly. And when you got born again, if you've been born again, you received the anointing of Jesus, of the sonship in you, so you can walk like the Son of God. You may be female, but you can still walk as a son. God placed a portion of his character, his nature in you when you got born again. And you're a person who now are able to walk the way Jesus walked. And you know, God's not interested in looking at your life and seeing how many degrees you have. He's not interested in looking at your life to see how many medals you can wear. He's not interested in looking at your life and seeing, you know, how many accolades have been given to you. But he's interested in the faith that you're operating in. The only thing he's looking for is you walking by faith. And you can't please him unless you walk by faith. We have to be faith walkers, faith talkers, and faith doers. See, you are a spirit person. You live in a body and you have a mind, but you are a spirit person. You're made in the image of God. And so you walk in the Spirit. When you received Christ, you were recreated to be the way God wanted you to be. You're made in the image and likeness of God, made in the image and likeness of Jesus. And so you're a spirit being walking around in this body. Now, some of us have different bodies to others. Some have got hair. Some don't have hair. Some are short. Some are tall. Some are... You know the whole story. But you see, one of the things being a spirit being is this, that you already have supernatural power. The supernatural power came into you when you got born again. And part of that supernatural power is the power of faith. You have the power of faith. You can use faith. This is why Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You've got power. You've got the ability. You've got the power of God in you to do that. Amen. The Holy Spirit placed within you the very characteristics of God when you get born again. One of those characteristics is faith. Romans 12:3 tells us, God has given to every man among you the measure of faith. Every man among you is every man in the church. He's speaking to the church at Rome, not the Roman Catholic Church, but the Christian church at Rome. Every man among you has the measure of faith. Now, the measure of faith is the same measure that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. You have it. See, it's already in you. You've got that measure in you. And you have to come to a place where you're going to stand for what you believe. You have to stand up and say, this is what I believe, even in the face of opposition, even in the face of other churches saying you're wrong. You have to stand up and say, this is what I believe. See, if you're born again, God's faithfulness is in you right now. You don't have to go looking for faith. It's already there. You already have the faith in you. But God expects us to develop this faith, because when you start off, your faith is only, can I say it like this, is baby faith. Just a little, small little faith. That's the same faith that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, but our ability to use it hasn't developed. So it takes time. I've been at this for a long, long time now. Elizabeth's been at it longer than I have. I won't tell them how long, but she's been at it much longer than I have. But it takes time to learn this. You have to learn these things and grow in them. Now, remember, I gave you two reasons to begin with, two reasons why we have to develop this faith. Number one is it pleases God. And number two, he's given us four instructions to walk in his word day by day by day in faith. So we have to do that. So I want you to, in this morning and next week and whenever, to study these messages with me. In other words, don't just listen to what I'm saying, but purpose in your heart that you're going to start to live by this word. That this word is going to be, as Naomi mentioned earlier, this is going to be your manual for life. That you're going to live this way, that you're going to take it for everyday direction. We need to go to the word. Instead of saying, well, I wonder what I should do now, I say, let's find out what God has to say about this. Go to the book and find out. See, when you came into the kingdom of God, you came in how? What did you? Not getting much response here. Maybe you have to go this way. You used your faith. Somebody told you, Jesus died, shed his blood for you. You can receive forgiveness. Will you accept it? And Samuel said, yes. You use your faith. That was the starting point. So you use your faith. Start to use your faith. Use it for every situation. No matter what it is, use your faith. There are so many promises in this book for you and for me. If we would just spend the time reading this book, we'd have answers for every situation. You can have answers on your health. You can have answers on your marriage. You can have answers on your finances. Whatever it is, the answers are already in the book. In Romans 10, there's a few verses there that are worth reading. Verse 13 through 17, this is what it says. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you have to call by faith. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But listen, verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Listen to me, faith doesn't come by, oh, I heard that last week. Faith comes by hearing in your spirit ears. You receive it in your spirit ears. See, the nation of Israel, they rejected the gospel and the word was no profit to them. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, them as Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, they heard the word, but didn't mean anything to them. They didn't mix it with faith. It was just, well, yes, I heard that last week. See, and that's the thing. We tend to say, oh, well, we've already heard that. I know sometimes when we put on the television, you know, it's Kenneth Copeland or whoever it is, I say, oh, yes, he said that before. And you generally tend to think, oh, well, I won't just listen. Faith comes by hearing. It's not what you have heard, it's what you are hearing. What is God saying into your ear today? See, you need courage to keep walking along the pathway of faith when confusion comes in, when things come in to take you away from the faith. And you see, if you keep walking by faith, you keep your feet on the faith pathway, keep walking on that pathway, you will eventually get to the end of the pathway and you will eventually get to the place that you're going to. The gospel preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them because they didn't mix faith with it. You have to mix faith with the messages that you hear. They're not just messages about faith. They're the word of God, and you mix your faith with that word and say, thank you, Father, I believe that. You heard the confessions that Naomi and Ulu were giving us this morning in the worship time. These are our vows. This is it, the book. You need to spend time in this book. See, these verses that we're just quoting to you from Romans and so forth, we believe the word of God. We receive the word of God. See, God is a faith God. I don't know. You understand that? He is a faith God. And it's only faith that pleases him. You do want to please him, don't you? The whole of the Bible is a faith book. Every verse in the Bible, you could take any verse in the Bible and you can learn something about faith from it. Even a little verse like Jesus wept. You could teach on that for an hour about faith. So much in each verse in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Speaking of Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. God and his word are one. Every word in God's book is filled with his faith. Every word is filled with faith. Now, when I started talking this morning, I'm talking about God's word. I'm talking about the very creative force that put this whole world in place. It's that very word that's keeping you and I here. If it weren't for the word of God, you'd go flying off into space. Some people have difficulty with that. See, you've got to realize that God has a program. He sees the end before he starts the beginning. Get your thinking caps on. God says, I'm going to do something. So he goes over here and says, this is how it's going to be. This is what I want. Then he goes back here and starts. Faith. Faith sees the answer. Thank you, Father. I believe I have it. Now I go back and start my walk of faith to get there. You following what I'm saying to you this morning? Okay. God's words are spiritual containers, if you like. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of you have been to see your doctor this year already? Don't answer. Now listen to the words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Have you ever asked your doctor, are you born again? What do you think about God, the doctor? Do you believe in God? No, I don't believe in all that stuff. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Sorry if I just burst your bubble this morning. You go to the banker and you say, oh, banker, I need to borrow, $300,000 because I want to buy a house. Have you considered saying to the banker, how do you view God? Are you born again? Do you go to church? No, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. God's word is what we need. This is a spiritual book because God is a spiritual God. It's a faith book because God is a faith God. And faith comes when you hear the word. Now, I'm going to say this again. I've already said it this morning. Faith doesn't come because you heard the word. Faith comes because you're hearing the word. In other words, your ears, the ears if you're the ones on the side of your head, and the ones in your heart, your spirit. Your spirit ears and your natural ears have to be open to hear what God is saying to you. I may be saying thus and so, I may be saying certain words, but God may be saying something entirely different into your spirit man. Your natural ears are hearing the words that I'm saying, but you need to hear what God is saying to you. See, hearing the word of God is God's major word. Plant faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We don't have time this morning, but I wonder if you've ever considered reading in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, and I said we're not going there this morning, but the devil comes to try and steal the word from you. He comes to try and steal the word away from you. See, and even while I'm talking to you this morning, he's active. You mean the devil comes to church? Yep, he's here. He has no rights, but he's still here. Because he's saying things into your ears. Well, it's not just like that. That's not how it works. And you're rationalizing and reasoning the word of God this morning. I know it. I've been there. I've sat in the meetings and listened to preachers and thought, don't allow that to happen. The devil is out to steal, to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 11 and verse 20 says, we stand by faith. We stand by faith. Because I'll tell you, if you're not standing by faith, you're going to fall for anything. You'll fall for any trick that the devil pulls. Now listen to me as I'm trying to wind up this morning. Faith is a matter of your heart. Faith is a matter of the spirit. It's not a matter of your mind. Faith is to do with your heart. Faith is to do with your spirit. You have no more faith in your mind than you have in your big toe. Faith is always in the heart. Faith is not something that happens in your mind. You don't think it through. You faith it through. I have a quote here I just want to read to you. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. I like that. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Romans 10 and 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is sotso, and it means wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. So today, can I challenge you to make a choice? You may remember a couple of weeks ago I taught a message called The Smart Choice. I'm encouraging you to make a smart choice to listen to God's word at every opportunity. That's why we make the CDs available to you. I mean, you go to probably any other church in the northern suburbs here, and you pay $7, $8, $9 for a CD. We don't charge you $7, $8, $9. We make them available at cost price to us. we just make them out so you can get to them, so you can listen to the Word of God. Now, not only do you need to listen to the CDs, but you need to read the book. You need to read it out loud. Faith comes by. Read it out loud to yourself. I mean, just when you're going to bed at night, just take a few little verses and read them, whatever. You know, there's a selection. Zechariah chapter 4, for example, verse 6 says, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." There's a little verse. Just take that and meditate on it. Think about it. Chew it over. What does it mean to you? See, Jesus warned us very strongly to be careful what you listen to. Take care. Mark 4:24 says, "Be careful, consider carefully what you hear." Faith doesn't come by listening to 86.9 or whatever the channel is. Faith doesn't come by watching whatever the program is on TV. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. There are lots of churches happening right now, even in these northern suburbs of Melbourne. Ministers are preaching words, but they're not all preaching faith. They're not all preaching the Word of God. If they're not preaching the Word, there's no faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Proverbs 4 tells us, verse 20 to 23, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health or medicine to all of their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces or the issues of life." You have to be very careful what you allow in your ears. You have to be very, very, very careful what you listen to. Because just as faith comes by hearing God's word, fear comes by listening to the devil's words. And every day, I tell you right now, there are negative, down-putting, defeatist words all around you. If you have a workforce and you're working in an office or in a factory or whatever it may be, there are people all around you who will be saying things. You have to be careful what you let in your ears. Because they can take out of you what the Holy Spirit is trying to put into you. The Holy Spirit is trying to get the word into you. So I'm trying to get the right words for it. This is a continual process of growing. Here's Esther. I remember 7.9 years ago when this little baby girl was put in my arms, like I did with every one of our grandkids. I prayed over it, like I did with our own children. I'd lay hands on them, hold them in my arms and say, "Thank you, Father, for this little life. I declare and decree that this little life is going to serve you all the days of its life." And I'd speak blessing and wholeness and healing and everything over Esther as I did with the other 8 of the grandkids. Amen. As I did with Naomi and Ian and Janine. Even in the early days, although I didn't know much, but you know, I think I've told you about Naomi when she was dedicated at 2 weeks old. The pastor who dedicated her was a man called Pastor Oxley. He was the man who actually released us into ministry all these years ago. But there was a guest speaker at the church on the day that Naomi was dedicated. His name was Gordon Gibbs from Sydney. And Gordon Gibbs took Naomi's feet. Pastor Oxley held the baby. Gordon Gibbs held onto her feet. And this is what he said. He says, this is different. He says, "This has never happened to me before." He said, "The spirit of this child is crying out. The spirit of the child is crying out through the Holy Spirit to me to tell you, the parents, to bring me up in the ways of God and I'll never depart from it." So we've tried to do that. We've tried to set the pattern, set the course. Elizabeth's dad had a heritage of faith. He sat in meetings with Smith Wigglesworth. That has come on to Elizabeth and on to me. This is the third generation. There's the fourth. See, that, it's not just something, it's not just, let's go to church this Sunday morning. No, we're talking about a life style. We're living this life. See, I believe that God our Father wants us to grow up in the image of Jesus in all ways, in everything, to be more and more like Jesus. I'm going to continue with the message next week. We'll do some more, but you know, hearing the word alone is not just enough. You've got to do something with it. We'll talk about a few more things next week, add some more to it, and then there'll be two CDs available to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at this morning? I'm trying to encourage you to grow up and be what God wants you to be. Be big in your faith. And that's why we're starting these Thursday night meetings. Because we're going to be teaching faith and healing and all these things. It's outreach to the community, and we're believing God for good things. We love you this morning. We trust you are enjoying the fellowship. We're going to have some fellowship now. Russell's going to come and receive your tithe and your offering this morning, and then we'll have a cup of tea. Thank you, Russell.